Good morning and welcome to Uncle Paul's Jazz Closet, your local radio show about jazz drummer Paul Modian. This is your host, Cindy McGurl, and today our theme is Tony Malaby and more, it says, because there's other people playing too. We just heard Throughout, and that's a Bill Frisell composition from the 2004 album Not In Our Name with Charlie Hayden and his Liberation Music Orchestra, Carla Bley, conductor and arranger, and piano, Chris Cheek and Tony Malaby on tenor saxophones, Miguel Zenon on alto saxophone, Seneca Black, Michael Rodriguez on trumpet, Curtis Folks on trombone, Annie Shannon Freeman on French horn, Joe Daly on tuba, Steve Cardenas on guitar, Charlie Hayden on bass, and Matt Wilson on drums. And that was put out by Universal Music in France. And I'm pretty excited that Tony Malaby is going to come on the show at about 9:30. We're going to give him a phone call and see what he has to say. I don't know that much about like how he met Paul or anything. He played in the Paul Modian band for the recording Garden of Eden. And I know that he played with Paul on and off at the Village Vanguard. And Paul played on Tony's album, Adobe, that I'm featuring today. So it will be interesting to hear what he has to say. And I believe he is in New York. So I want to also thank my partner, the Camden Conference, for helping to bring the show to the air. And next up I have Kosas, a Tony Malaby tune from Adobe, and that is with Drew Gress on acoustic bass and Paul Modian on drums. Came out in 2003 on Freelance. And then I've got a cut from Rez Abbasi's album Out of Body, and that cut is Ganges, and it came out in 1999. John Hebert on acoustic bass, Bruce Hall on drums and percussion, electric guitar, acoustic guitar, tabla, percussion, Rez Abbasi, tenor, soprano saxophones, Tony Malaby, trumpet, and flugelhorn, Ron Horton. So we'll hear those, and then I think when we come back, we should have Tony on the line, if all things work. Hopefully they will.
Thank you. Thank you. Greg.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I've got Tony Malaby on the phone. Just getting my headphones on. Hi, Tony. Do you want to say a few words so we can see if you're sounding okay?
Hi. Tony Malaby here.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
Pretty clear?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I had the... Yeah, I think that will work good. Okay, so we just played Ganges from Out of Body, and we played Kosas before that from your Adobe CD, and then Liberation Music Orchestra cut that you were on before that. So, yeah, I know that you played with Paul at the Village Vanguard, and I don't know if you played anywhere else, but you were in sort of the later version of the Electric Bebop band. But so how did you meet Paul?
I guess the first time was my first gig at Sweet Basil. I think I was subbing for Potter. And then he kept me in the band. And, you know, I played at the Vanguard. I went to Brazil with Paul.
Oh, you did? Oh, on that, the Electric Bebop tour. Yeah, I didn't realize you were on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, so I did that. And he played in my record, and he was curious about the direction I was taking, and he wanted to play with us. He wanted to see what we were doing at Cornelia Street Cafe. So... he started playing with us at Cornelia Street Cafe with my ex-wife, Angelica Sanchez. And I did a gig with a piano player named Chris Davis and Paul. And we became close friends. I mean, he fired me 3 or 4 times.
Uh-huh.
it was really funny how that works. So if you couldn't make, a run at the Vanguard or wherever, whoever replaced you or whoever subbed for you ended up staying in the band. And every time Paul would have one of the guys in the band talk to me and tell me to call him up, that he's asking for you. He misses you. You know, he misses your sound. He says, all the other guys kind of sound the same. He misses your Texas tenor sound.
Uh-huh.
And that's something Paul could never figure out, that I was from Arizona. He always thought I was from Texas or New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And I have a really funny story, if I can tell it, Cindy, something that I remember, because I played in Albuquerque last Friday.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it.
And Paul always thought I was from New Mexico. So he says, you know, one time I took a gig out there, and I took the gig just so I can go to New Mexico so I could buy a cowboy outfit. And he said, I wanted the boots, I wanted the jeans, I wanted the belt buckle, the hat, the cowboy shirt. And I get out there, and it's a Sunday, and everything's closed. And I said, you were going to buy a 10-gallon hat and the whole thing? He says, yeah, I was ready. I was ready to buy the entire cowboy outfit. But he says, the gig was on a Sunday, and they flew me out. I get there, all the shops are closed.
He did like to buy nice things, I have to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that picture? I think I have posted it of him when he was like maybe 5 or 6 years old in a cowboy outfit.
No.
Okay, I'll have to put that up again. Maybe I'll put it up on the post for this show because it's related. Yeah, it's a picture of him, and he's got this complete cowboy outfit with the hat and the vest and the, the gun and the gun holder and everything. And it's really cute. But I actually have the gun, too, that he's holding in that photo. So that must have been a remembrance of his childhood.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I was visiting him one time, you couldn't make a gig at the Vanguard, and yeah, he was sad. But he had a new guy. He was going to try this new guy. And Mark Turner, I think it was, and I think he worked out okay too. But yeah, he was a little mad that you couldn't make it.
Yeah. So I mean, I'd go to Europe with my own bands, and he would get upset, you know. But he would say, "You have to do what you want to do. You got to do what you got to do."
Yeah, and, yeah, got to stay
focused. But I'd always end up back in the band, which was great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I kind of, you know, I just moved to the archive, all of Paul's things, and I was resorting the CDs. And when Kevin Tax was on the show, he had a cut where he played with Angelica. And so I was sorting the CDs. You know, I came across the Alive in Brooklyn, and I saw you were on it, and then the Liberation Music Orchestra, and I saw you were on that, and I knew you were on Garden of Eden, and then I saw, you know, in the Adobe too. I was like, oh, well, I should play him too. So that's how it came about. So I have queued up. What is this thing called love? Because I think your sound is unique, and that's a tune that Paul's played and recorded quite a bit. But this cut sounds different. You know, it's your own thing. Can you stay on the line for a while, by the way, or would you rather just talk and then go back?
No,
to
No, I
what
can
you need?
Stay on.
Okay,
sure.
So this is a What Is This Thing Called Love from Adobe. Thank you. Okay, we're back with Tony Malaby, and we just heard "What Is This Thing Called Love" from Tony's Adobe CD. And so, Tony, do you have a particular cut from that CD that you really like?
From Adobe?
Yeah.
Oh, I like the one you just played a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were just talking about your Maine connection. So about 10 years ago, you came up and taught at the Maine Jazz Camp. Is that in Blue Hill? Is that where it is?
No, it's in Farmington.
Oh, it's in Farmington. Okay. I was thinking.
Farmington. Yeah, and I did it for a good 8 years.
So wow.
When I first moved to New York, I think within a couple of years, I started teaching there. And it was an incredible experience. And I met so many of the New York guys. And, you know, if I can send out a shout out to my friend Steve Grover.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of created the camp. And he was one of the founders of that camp. And so many good musicians have come out of that area that are playing in New York now. A drummer named Devin Gray, R.J. Miller. There's a pianist named Liz Kozak, Jeremy Viner, who's an incredible saxophone player and clarinet player. I can go on and on. It's just a real fertile area. And I think this camp is something, it's still going. And
Does Steve teach there year-round?
No, he hasn't done it in years. But
yeah.
He was one of the founders. And it was taken over by a woman named Christine Correa, and her husband Frank Carlberg, and it always incorporates New York players, you know. And Steve teaches in Augusta. You know, he's a very he's an educator in Maine and a drummer, a composer. He makes records with all the New York cats.
Yeah, and, I know he listens to the show. I don't think I've met him, but I've corresponded with him a little bit. Yeah, the University of Augusta has a pretty well-regarded jazz program. And actually, you know, Paul played up there in the 70s once, and he has some funny stories from when he did with Charlie Hayden and I think it was, I can't remember who the other guy was, but they stopped. They were in separate cars, and they stopped to get lobster, and so they weren't there when Paul got there, and it was this whole comedy of errors.
Yeah.
So do you ever, have you ever thought of playing at Blue, you know, that jazz club in Portland? They seem like they're getting some New York players.
No, I haven't heard of that. There's a friend of mine who lives in Portland who puts on shows named Paul Lichter, who's also involved with Maine Jazz Camp. He was
there as a counselor.
And he's put on shows in Portland, I'd say, for 15 years.
Yeah.
And most of my friends continue to play for him and go up there. It's just been a while since I was up there. I did stuff at Bowdoin College, stuff for Paul Lichter. I taught in Augusta.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Oh, you should put me on like your email or something, and if you come up again, I can let people know about it.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, and my website is about to get tweaked, so it's been a while, though.
Yeah, I'll put a connection to that. So I have queued up Endless from the Garden of Eden, and I will think we'll play that next.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back with Tony Malaby, and we just heard "Endless," a Palmodian composition from the Garden of Eden, which is a 2006 ECM release with Chris Cheek, Tony Malaby, Steve Cardonis, Ben Monder, Jakob Bro, Jerome Harris, and Palmodian. So, Tony, do you want to tell us about your first experiences hearing Paul's music?
Sure. I guess in the early 80s, I was attending Arizona State University, and there was a violinist in my 20th century harmony class who worked at the Tower Records next to the school, and he saw me browsing through the LPs, and he said, "Have you ever heard this stuff?" And I said, "No," and he actually laid
All right, people, I just hung up on Tony. I'm sorry. I'm going to call him back. And we are going to go to another cut from Adobe. And this is Humpty Dumpty.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back, and we're back on the line with Tony. Sorry about that, Tony. We've got a couple of minutes before the top of the hour if you want to continue on about first hearing Paul's music.
Yeah, I mean, the compositions really grab me. I mean, there's a mysterious element there, and there's a flavor that really took me, and I feel so blessed that I got to experience playing with him, because he was such a major influence, and just showed me when I was in Arizona that you know you could play jazz and take it in another direction and really personify that. And hearing Frizzell and Lovano and Jim Pepper and Eddie, you know, people that really changed my direction at that time. I was learning how to play bebop and standards, and I heard Paul's lullabies and his tunes and the unique harmonies, and it really got me. And his the tenor players that he chose. I ended up with kind of a composite sound because of Lovano and Jim Pepper. It's like both of those voices, the way they would play unison together, really influenced the way I play the saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
And also the compositional, the simplicity of his music is something very important to me. So it was just an incredible experience to get a phone call from him asking me to play a Sweet Basil.
And was that with the Electric Bebop Band? Or
that was with the Electric Bebop Band, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Potter couldn't make a thing. And I'm pretty sure it was either Monder or Chris Cheek who recommended me, because I was playing with them in other projects and stuff around that time.
Yeah. Okay, we've got to go to the station break, and then we'll be back on the air in a couple of minutes.